We're in a series that has kind of gone in fits and starts to get rolling, and I called it The Invitation, and I've had to pack a few things together in the series, just given the dates that we have and getting everything done. So today I'm going to cruise through some material that is available online and in your community groups, and there's going to be some passages here that I don't really spend a lot of time expounding, but they're just integral and they're key and they're foundational. And so if you're like, oh, I should have taken notes, yeah, you probably should have. No, just kidding. If you want, you can download everything from our website. It's all there. And have a look and go through some of them. So be encouraged. If you don't get all the richness out of it, first time through, I promise you will. I was thinking about this. When I get an invitation to something, I want to know some details. Somebody comes up and they say, hey, do you want to go to this thing? The first thing I want to know is, what's the thing about? Are you going to try and sell me something? Do I have to sign up? Is this some kind of bait and switch thing where I go, oh yeah, I'd love to do that, because they only tell me the good parts and then the bad parts boomerang in on me? And so for me, when I give an invitation, I'm trying to say, here's what I'm inviting you to. I want to be clear about, here's how you would need to respond and let me know what's up. And I have a desire for you as you join our church or continue to come to our church. We got new people who have been here for a while, to be really clear as we issue an invitation regarding who we are and what you're being invited to be a part of. We're not inviting you to get the Alliance tattoo, you know, not that anyone would, but I'm just saying, we're not inviting you to do some religious things. We're inviting you as a group of people to join us in a journey. And the invitation is to discipleship and to journey with us towards Christ. And so today I want to share a few of the convictions that we have about discipleship, about what the Bible says, about how things happen here, and our desire to have you join us in these 3D discipleship things we call discovery, demonstration, and duplication. So are you with me? All right, first, here's one of my convictions and one of our convictions as a church, that God invites us to some things in Scripture. We believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God and that God has issued an invitation to us. First, He invites us to relationship. We know something in John 3, 16 and 17. Man, familiar passage. It says this: For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. We believe that God loved us and that we were apart from God. Ephesians is pretty clear that we were apart from God in our sin. He was holy. We were not. There was a problem when sin came into creation, and that God chose for Himself a people, and we have the story through the Old Testament leading right up to the provision of a substitute, someone in your place, and that Christ made a way by going to the cross in your place and in mine. We believe God invites us to move from death to life into relationship with Him. Secondly, we believe with all our hearts, God invites us to respond. It says that you have to accept for yourself. Now, wouldn't it be great if just by your brand or your family name you were in, right? Just by saying, well, you know what? My parents way back when did this thing for me, so I'm good. God said, no, this is an individual thing. I don't have any grandchildren. That my design is that all should know and have opportunity to respond. And so the Bible is pretty clear that you need to accept for yourself this gift of Christ on a cross. And then something amazing happens. When you accept it for yourself, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's everyone who's understood and said, I want that payment to be applied to my account. He is a new creation. Old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. And so God invites us to relationship. He provided a way through Christ. He invites us to respond. And then he says, that makes us part of family. He invites us to family. This is an interesting thing that happens where you become part of God's family. Someone really wise said to me one time, when you get married, you are technically a husband. It's now your choice if you're going to be a good husband or a bad husband. But you are nonetheless a husband. Many of you who are parents understand that. We had a child, and now we're parents. We're dad and mom. And we can be found faithful and good in that, or we can fail at that, but it's not going to change that we're mom. If you understand this truth that God loved us and provided a way through Christ for us to have our sin accounted for and come into relationship with him, and we're invited into that, and you've responded and said, I want that for me. Because it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So you've done that. Guess what? You're now family. So all the jokes you tell about church people and about Christians, they're now about your brothers and sisters. And all the complaints you have about hypocrisy, they're about your family. It says this about God adopting us in Ephesians. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He had this plan. He was going to do this for us. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, and to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us. The beloved, he's talking about Jesus. We're called the family of God. We're heirs and joint heirs, it says in Ephesians. You know, full rights and brothers and sisters. It's just this cool thing. So he's called us to something pretty cool. He's called us to be a family. And then he calls us to maturity. It's kind of like Chris and Jamie went and adopted young Titus, and they brought him here. And he came from an orphanage, and their goal isn't that Titus just be safe, and their goal isn't that Titus just be loved, and their goal isn't that Titus just be fed. They want to raise him up, right? And they love that he's walking and blabbering and talking, and they're doing everything they can to watch him come to maturity and to grow. God's design, God's plan was never to have you recognize, whew, I'm loved. Whew, I need my sins dealt with. Oh, God did that for me. Oh, I have a family. And then close the gate behind you and make it all about you. In fact, Paul is so impassioned in this area. He says at one point, I would rather I be sent to hell if it meant my brothers and sisters could know Jesus. And aren't we so good at being inner focused that we love this information? You go, yeah, okay, I get it, Bob. You're saying, as a church, what we're about here, we believe that God's word is true and that God loved us and that God made a way and that we need Jesus and he paid for our sin and we're part of a family. Yes, but he also intended in this whole thing, part of the deal is that we would grow to maturity. Now, the Bible has so much to say about this. About being mature, about being grounded, about being informed, about giving an answer, about being stable. I've chosen one passage here, Ephesians 4:14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather. So this, we're going away from this, rather this. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, and from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so it builds itself up in love. Here's the deal. The first D of our 3D discipleship, discover. Man, we are we are inviting you to come to this place from wherever you're at, whatever your situation is. Your life can be a hot mess. You can have big history here and there and everywhere. We don't care. Come on in from wherever you're at. And let's together discover Jesus. Let's discover the reality of who he is. Let's discover what relationship looks like. But let's discover all the way along gifts and growth. And we want you to come and learn and discover here. Join us on a journey of discovery as we invite you to have your discipleship stewarded and fostered in this family, in this local body of believers. The invitation is to join us in discovery. Now, one-dimensional discovery learners are pretty interesting people. There's a few people in my life that have all kinds of knowledge and no practical know-how. And if you had this experience, you're trying to fix something, and you have somebody who's read the instructions or taken a course telling you what to do and it's not working, anybody appreciate that? Anybody think bad things when that's happening? No, just me, I know. One-dimensional Christians are horrible because information is their goal. That they see that the gathering of information, the more I can know and the more I can learn, and it's not bad in and of itself, it's just if all you do is gain information and there's no practice or outcome from the information is useless. Because it's just that, information. What we tend to get sidetracked by and roped into is arguments about right and wrong. Arguments about this little problem or discrepancy and instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus, we're building fences based on our information going, that's bad, so I should build a fence, and that's bad, so I should build a fence. Well, I need to invite you to more than just discovery. I need to invite you to be demonstrators of what you're learning and provide a place where that's going to happen. God is really clear in Scripture that he's called you to the family, but he's given the family kind of a why and how. He's gone, here's what we're about, and here's how we're to operate, and here's the mission that we're on together. It's actually pretty exciting stuff when our Father in heaven, God, says, okay, we got a plan, and it's a good plan. So let me share it with you. He says, as a family, there's ways that now you treat one another. All of you in your family situation have rules and regulations. In some homes, your kids can go all UFC on each other. and you like stand in the corner and go, ooh, good one. He's up. He's coming back. In other homes, that can't happen. And you all know that you set the environment and the rules in your home. Well, God, our Father, creator of all things, has said, this is the deal. In the New Testament alone, there's 59 one another's. Love one another, greet one another, consider one another, outdo one another, bear with one another, comfort one another, forgive one another. In Colossians, it says this, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, that's you as sons and daughters, partakers in Christ's cross, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against the other, forgiving one another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all of these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Intimidating, exhausting list. Where God says, this is my desire for us as a family. And he knows that you don't always live up to it, and you forget sometimes, and he's slow to anger, and he's abounding in love, and he's gracious. And he didn't just say, you've got to do this all. We're going to get to that in a minute. He empowers us for holy living, which is really, really cool. But don't miss this. Don't miss this. We don't get to decide or to come down to it like a smorgasbord. We're adopted. We have a family name and a father, and he's been pretty clear about how we're to operate. And the invitation to discipleship comes with an invitation to accountability in how you relate to one another, how you forgive each other, how you love each other and the world around you. He's clear about our family mission. It says in Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let me go through that really quickly. Some of you would argue, "Oh, ho, 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 ho. He said that to 12 guys before he took off. He also said to those 12 guys, you wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, and then I'm going to build my church." And this is for everyone who is a follower of Jesus. So if you know the first part, the invitation of God that you've responded to, and you've now become part of the family, and he expects maturity, as you move along that, he's clear. Part of maturity is learning to operate like this and being in the body and being in relationship. And part of maturity is understanding our family mission. We are about something. Life is not pointless. I've given you a mission. I'll go through this really quick. All authority, huge statement. It means everything. On the earth, over the earth, under the earth. Jesus demonstrated his authority over nature, his authority over demonic forces, his authority over death. Over and over and over, it was demonstrated by Jesus that he had that authority, and he confers it on us. Go and make disciples of all nations. As you live your life, be about this mission. Here's the deal, you guys. This isn't start here, go here, go here. When he says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, all three. That's why we pray for our missionaries, and that's why we support them financially, and that's why we're involved in gospel multiplication effort, and that's why we're involved in justice and compassion. It matters to God in our backyard, in causes here, and here in our church. And we want you to be telling your God story to your neighbors, and we believe God loved the world, and he gave us this mandate to be a light unto the world. And you go, "Bob, that seems like a huge job." You're right. So hold on, we're going to get to that. He's clear about our family mission. We know from Scripture that your life has been uniquely and purposely given to you. It says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. It says in Psalm 139, he knew you before he formed the earth. In Acts 17, he knew your days and where you'd be. You have been placed in Cold Lake in this time on a snowy October 16th to grow in your discipleship in this very group. It's a design from God, and you have a role in being a disciple and making disciples. It goes on to say, teaching them to observe what I've commanded you, that we're to be about instructing people about what's in Scripture, not what we're making up, not popular topics. We're committed to teaching the Bible in this place. Baptizing them, we have believers baptizing, participation publicly, where the presence of the Holy Spirit is there and you are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, identifying with Jesus' death and resurrection. And he says this, and I am with you always to the end of the age. Romans 8 tells us nothing can separate us from the love of God. And Jesus is suggesting that even when what he's asking of us is countercultural, he's there and he's with us. Even when following Jesus will bring persecution, he's there and he's with you. Even when disciple making isn't convenient, he's there and he's with you. Always. I want you to see that he's clear about our family mission. We are to make disciples. We're not to make happy feelings. We don't exist to fill in the blank. Some of you will ask us, hey, you know, in our last church we did this, or I heard about this, or why don't we? And you'll find a lot of no's from us. We're very simple. But the very first question we ask is, how does it make disciples? Because if it spurs us on, if it encourages, if it equips, if it allows you to demonstrate the giftedness God has given, if it's a witness to our word, we're in, because that's what disciples are about. He's, go and do this. Okay, we'll be about that. If it doesn't, we're out. We can't entertain your kids like fill in the blank, but we can equip them to be followers of Jesus in this world. We can't top this experience that you had, but we can connect you to the living God. And we can give you a foundation, and we can give you a place to serve. We can give you a place to grow. That's what the body, the family, the church is about. Jesus is also really clear about gifting and empowering, and we believe this. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7, it says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Here's what happens. We say, okay, we're part of the family. Got it. I'm going to act like this. Okay, we're on mission. Yeah. I'm in. I'm responding to the invitation. I'm going to do it. And we realize that we don't have what it takes to get it done. We go, wait, you missed something. Not only did God take action, and not only did he call you, and not only did he give you all the how-tos, he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to help you do it. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit, and I'm going to gift you and equip you, and I'm going to empower you. And as you're obedient and you agree to partner with me in this deal, I am going to do through you what you couldn't have asked, thought, or imagined, what you didn't even think possible. I'm going to use you with me. It says in Ephesians, rather speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow. So it builds itself up, how? In love. And so he says, I'm going to give you different gifts, and I'm going to give you a variety of gifts, and I'm going to give you gifts that everyone else thinks is kind of funny, but that's okay. It's the gift I gave you. And all of those things are going to work together, empowered by the Holy Spirit. It says Jesus is in all of it to build us up in love. And in Romans 12, it says, for as in one body we have many members. You got a hand with fingers and tendons, it works, right? You can pick something up, but the eye needs to see to grab it. And the members do not have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace God has given us, let us use them. Our conviction is that God equips his church. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, we'll help you with the spiritual gifts inventory. If you don't know what your natural gifts are, we can probably just talk to your friends and figure that out. But God has gifted you and called you, and his desire is that you demonstrate what you learn in the body and out of the body through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our invitation, so that there's no bait and switch, isn't just to come here and grow as learners. We want you to discover it's important. We put a lot of time and effort into it. We want you to have the opportunity to demonstrate. The invitation is to join us in a journey of demonstration, living out in relationship with one another and our world what we discover about God and his purpose for us. It all sounds good till we get to the forgiving one another stuff and the bearing with one another stuff and the loving your enemies stuff and doing good to those who hurt you stuff. But empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, as we discover things about God, to say yes to demonstrating them. The invitation to grow in your discipleship here, it'll be to learn, but it'll be to serve. You learn by doing. You learn by serving. You need to find a place and get involved. Guess what'll happen? Some of you will choose a place to serve that you hate and you're not gifted at. Awesome! You've learned something. That's not my gift. I'm not good at that. But many of you, as you try serving and you try, okay, if the Bible says this, I'm going to try it. You know what you discover? That God does what you can't even believe through just simple participation with Him. Our invitation to discipleship here, guys, we want you to grow. We are going to do everything in our power to feed you and to equip you to the best of your ability. We're going to have tools for you to use your gift. We're going to have opportunities for you to serve. But we want you to demonstrate what you're learning through the discovery with one another and with our world. That is God's plan. And we believe it. And we believe that if you try and do that without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, you will become frustrated and bitter and give up. But when you do, cry out to God and are filled with the Spirit and empowered by God, your little becomes more than you could think. Thirdly, we know that God desires to do work in our world through our participation. Here's the thing. We're part of the family. He's given us the way the family's to operate. He calls us to get involved. He says that He's gifting us for works of service. But God's just been really clear in Scripture. He wants His people to be a witness to the world. So right from the covenants that He had with Noah and with Abraham, and He wanted these people to be different, to be set apart. And when He took His children out of slavery and gathered them at a mountain, He gave them ways of operating. And it used to be like things like circumcision and food that you ate, and like you had all these rules, clean and unclean, to operate as the children of God. But why? Well, they were an example to the whole world. They were set apart for God. There were things they chose not to do, things that they operated under that made them different. For a long time, they didn't even have a king. They were 12 tribes that, when the war cry went out, came together and actually did cleansing for a few days with the priests and offered sacrifices to God. And then they went into war and just annihilated everybody. Everybody was terrified of these untrained wild men because they were the people of God. I mean, you've got 12 disciples who were basic fishermen, kind of nobodies in this movement, and He charges them with building His church, and He sends them out, but empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's unreal. And it was obvious that they were set apart. And they were a witness that just grew and grew and grew. And He said, this is my plan, that my people will be a witness to the world, that that everyone will see and know that because of what they learn and how they live, there's something different about them. Here's what it says in Philippians 2, that you might be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Here's a Bobism. Any of you watching the election stuff in the States? Sad, man. It's just sad. It saddens my heart. And I'm like, where's the light? I read that verse and I go, oh God, wouldn't it be great? Like, we don't have all these same kind of problems in Cold Lake, but that people wouldn't know how in the world we as a town would find our way if it wasn't for the light that emanated from the children of God at Cold Lake, at Grand Center Alliance. You know, and you're working with people whose marriages are falling apart and who don't know how to parent their kids, and whose values and morals and choices are all being defined by social media and culture. And you have the truth. And God just says, here's the deal. When I forgive your sin and set you free from guilt and shame and you're in love with me and following me and you're part of a family and you're heirs and joint heirs, and you can have peace when everybody else is freaking out, and you can know where to turn when everyone else's foundation is rocked, you're going to be shining like light. You're going to be a witness. And others are going to go, I need to know this God. Romans 10 says something interesting. If you wonder about how God wants to use us, how then will they call on him in whom they have believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? In essence, saying, if no one says and no one goes and no one shares, they can't hear. And God loved the whole world. And he loved us while we were apart from him in sin. God desires to work through our participation. We're called ambassadors in 2 Corinthians 5. In John 14, it says we're going to be known by the world because of our love for one another. God desires our participation. And God desires to partner with us. Here's what it says in Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And God desires us to live Holy Spirit-enabled lives. It's divine power for life. Take this in 2 Peter 1. Is divine power granted to us all things that pertain? His divine power has granted... It says is, it means his. I screwed up right there. Mark it down. It was me. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Taking our obedience and participation, the Holy Spirit enables and empowers. So, a couple weeks ago, I was talking to you out of Mark 6 in the feeding of the 5,000. You might have been here, you might not. Let me remind you real quick. Jesus has sent the disciples out two by two. They've come back. He sees that they're exhausted. They were told to take nothing with them and to only stay where they were accepted. So the possibility of getting rejected was there, and I'm sure it happened. And they want to talk about everything's happened. And Jesus said, come away with me. Let's get away from the crowds. And the crowds see them going, and they actually run along the shore. They beat them. They get into a boat, and they arrive where Jesus arrives. And he sees the multitude, and Jesus has compassion on them. And the disciples are probably pretty frustrated. But there they are, tired, and Jesus is teaching again. It's getting late in the day, and the disciples huddle up, and they say, there is no restaurants around. These people didn't bring food, and it's getting late, and they're hungry. We need to encourage Jesus to send them out into the towns to get food, and they go to Jesus and say, we see a problem that we can't solve. It's beyond us. Will you send them all into the towns to get food? And Jesus said, why don't you feed them? That's nice. Why don't we feed them? Sure. They sarcastically go, yeah, give us. And I forget what the amount of money is, but it's just an astronomical amount of money. And we'll get right on that. You know it's sarcasm because he's just sent them out with no money before this. And Jesus says, well, what do you have? And they go and they take inventory and they come with the most insignificant amount, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And it's with an insignificant, insufficient amount offered to God that the Spirit of God multiplies that and a miracle happens and 5,000 people are fed. I want you to join us in a journey of duplicating faith. By obedience to God's loving instruction for our life. By our witness to the world. And by allowing the Spirit to use our little to accomplish the impossible. I've said this before. My grandpa bowed his knee in a barn listening to someone on the radio and decided to follow Jesus. And generations have been infected. And kingdom ministries have been built because of one man's decision. God wants us to be a witness. He wants our faith to be duplicated in others here. He wants the gospel effort to go forward around the world. There's places that people don't have access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have the ability to to provide resources and provide prayer and to provide a way that the gospel will go. And Romans 14, how will they know if no one goes? And how will they hear if no one speaks? Who will go? I tell you all of that to tell you this. The design of God is that your faith be duplicated. So the invitation is not just to discovery. It's not just to be demonstrating your faith here, but it's to be a part of the duplication effort and a part of taking a little bit and watching God do miracles with it. That's a big question. So what? If you're here this morning and you haven't, you need to respond to the invitation of God for a relationship. God loved you. And no matter what you've done, he didn't want you to live paying for your own sin and separation from him. He made a way through Christ. If you've responded to that, you need to embrace that you're now part of a family and that your job is to pursue maturity. Can I just say this lovingly to you guys? Time in doesn't equal maturity. Some of you say, I've been a Christian a long time. And I say, so what? God's design is for you to embrace the family and be mature. Some of you still don't want anything to do with the family of God. You love this idea that God loves you, and you love this idea that, but the church, ooh, I've been hurt by them. Some people don't think like I do. There's weirdos there. I know, I'm one. The invitation is to discover Jesus and to grow, but you need to embrace the family and pursue maturity. In this church, we're committed to the discovery of Jesus and his design for our lives and calling one another to walk that. The invitation is to join us on that journey. Secondly, we need to embrace the design of God for family relationship and mission. We can't do it alone. Community matters. We can't opt out. It's the will of God for Christ. It's the will of God in Christ for us. And we as a church are committed to finding ways and enabling you to demonstrate what you're learning and discovering. So if we're learning about generosity, we want to give you outlets for generosity. If we're learning about spiritual gifts, we want to give you the opportunity to use your spiritual gifts. What we're learning about needs to be demonstrated, and that's why our community groups, like, how does this change how we live? How does this change how we parent? How does this change how? Because we want to practically be employing the things God's teaching us, asking the power of his Holy Spirit to enable us to make it happen. As that happens, we become a witness to the world. You need to determine, will you allow God to work through you? Embracing that the Holy Spirit is needed and you need his empowerment to be intentional about your witness in our world and to offer up your insufficient amount to see what God will do with it for duplication. My invitation to you is to join us. We are committed to being a disciple-making place. I would be so excited for you to say, this is where I'm going to ground in. Whether you're here for 6 months, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, however long it is, would you join us on this journey? What would it look like to pursue Christ together? You say, well, where do I start? I'll give you a start. 2 weeks from now, we're having a membership lunch where we're going to talk about membership and our church. And you could go home and you could look us up on the website and you could send us an email that says, I'm coming. I want to be there. I want to be in. Because we would love to know that you wanted to journey, grow, to discover, to demonstrate, and to duplicate with us in this place. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for this simple truth from your word. And I thank you that you have just been really clear with us that we're to be about making disciples. And I thank you for the people that have grown and matured here and been able to demonstrate. And the duplication that's happening is people are discovering what it means to know you, to love you, to walk with you. We ask that your Spirit continue to guide us forward, and that you continue, Lord, to empower us as together we look to you to cause this to happen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.